some good, some not so good, and everything in between. It means that we have highs, we have lows. We have mountaintop experiences, we walk through the valleys. Ultimately, it means that we struggle. And it was interesting because that last tongue and interpretation was the perfect setup for where we are going here today. There are times that we will struggle on earth, some worse than others. Think of Sharon right now. Think of Gloria losing loved ones that close. That's not an easy thing to go through. It's not an easy thing to do at all. And those of you who have lost loved ones and close friends, you know the pain that brings. We struggle. And if we are thinking about it right now, I bet each one of us could think of a few times that readily come to mind. And it could be in different ways. It could be physical, it could be mental, it could be relational, spiritual. Some of you may be struggling right now. Maybe some of you who are up here at the altars before, you're praying, you're seeking God's face for a resolution, for an answer. Maybe that entails something that you're wrestling with, something that you're struggling through. Well, please know that you're not alone. It is part of the human condition. I remember a story from the Bible. There was a woman who had an issue of blood. We don't know 100% what it is she was dealing with, but we do know that she dealt with it for 12 years. Have you ever dealt with something that was not easy for a long period of time? Yeah. So we may not know exactly what she felt like, but we all know what it means to struggle. And there is one thing, probably multiple things, but one thing I want to look at today that is true for all of us, regardless of what we're going through. We need God to help get us through it. Would you agree with that? Yeah. And the good news of this is that He is ready, willing, and able to walk through it with each one of us. And you know who knew this firsthand was the Apostle Paul. He struggled mightily in many different points of his life, and he knew that God was able. But in order for God to get through and to help get us through, we need His life manifested in us. Does that make sense? In other words, we need the life of Jesus flowing in and through each one of us. And then we need to come alongside each other and help each other through with the same comfort that God has comforted us with. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. We're slowly making our way through the book of Ephesians. We are now into chapter 3, and we're going to look at these six verses or so and see what the Holy Spirit has for us. Paul starts off by saying, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, as we as a congregation are going through some struggles right now, the loss of Vanessa and Cliff, Lord, it hurts. But as Pastor Josh said before, we rejoice because they are in your presence, yet we still have to work through this. Teach us, Lord. Teach us what it means to have your life manifested in and through us. Teach us what it means to walk in Christ here today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the verses prior to these verses we just read, so this would be verses 1 through 13 of Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is sharing some of his struggles with the Ephesian believers, specifically the fact that he's in prison. I would think that prison is a rather large struggle. It's not an easy thing to go through. And Paul was there not because he was a bad dude or because he committed a crime, as we would think of a crime, but simply because he followed Jesus Christ. You all know that there are multiple believers all throughout this world who are being thrown in prison simply because they believe in Jesus. There are believers throughout this world who are being killed simply because they are believers. We need to be praying for the persecuted church. I would encourage you strongly here today, this week coming, the rest of this month, whenever the Lord might drop it into your heart, to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted. We see what's happening in America. It definitely seems to be turning quicker than ever before against the people of God. But we really don't know yet what it's like to go through the type of persecution that Paul went through and what so many others are going through all across this world. They need our prayers. Sound good? Okay. So Paul is in prison, and he's telling them about his struggle in prison. But what's interesting to me is the reason he's telling him all this, and you can check this for yourself, is so that they would not become discouraged. That's an interesting thought. Here's Paul. You think if anybody's going to be discouraged, it's Paul. He's in prison. Yet he's not thinking about himself. At least not at this moment. He's thinking about his brothers and sisters in Christ in the church in Ephesus. And he's worried, maybe the worry is not the right word, he's concerned that because of what he was going through, they were going to be discouraged. You say, well, why would they become discouraged? It's a good question. Some of the thoughts that I had as I was thinking about this is the fact that if they would do this to Paul, the great apostle, what does this mean for you and me? If Paul, who has been a witness, who's been a church planter, he's been a missionary, an apostle, could be thrown in prison, and we know God is with him, what does this mean for us? So I could see that scenario. I don't know why exactly, but I could see that scenario being very possible. So Paul says here that he prayed for them. And it's in this prayer that we see three things we need if we're going to overcome our struggles and live a victorious life in Christ. Anybody in here want to live a victorious life in Christ? I hope so. If you do, it would be good to put your little antennas out and get a hold of what God is going to teach us today. I would hope everybody would want to live a victorious life in Christ. I mean, we want victory. We don't want defeat. Right? We want victory. We want victory in Jesus. So the first thing that we need is the power of the Holy Spirit. Take a look at verse 16 again, if you could. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. As I was thinking about this, I started thinking about our culture. Our culture spends an awful lot of time focused on its bodies. Listen to some of these old ads I found a while back. Secret teeth whitening trick dentists don't want you to know about. Get the details. In demand, who are the most searched celebrities today? Here's one more. Celebrity photos, fashion flubs. Folks, we are so fixated on fashion. We are so fixated on what the stars are wearing. God doesn't care what they're wearing. Many of them don't wear anything at all. Right? So why would you want to wear what they wear? You'd be like in 30 seconds. Plus, we need to make sure that our teeth are white as snow. We need to make sure that our muscles are bulging. Because after all, I knew it was going to be you who laughed at that too, Pat. Because after all, we care so much about our bodies. I mean, think about how many magazines and influencers online are out there telling you how to beautify yourself. Now, the Bible does share with us that we need to take care of our bodies. After all, they are the temple of the Holy Spirit, okay? But we are a whole lot more than just a body. We are also a spirit and a soul. And this is what Paul means here by inner being. Other translations may call it the inner man. He's talking specifically about our souls, our minds, our spirits, who we are on the inside. And I'll tell you, who we are on the inside is more real than who we are on the outside. Okay? So Paul realizes this, and he realizes that true strength of a man or a woman is inward. So he prays that God would strengthen that inner being, that inner man, that inner person. How does he do it? Well, we already saw the answer. He does it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We saw that in verse 16. Let me share a couple of different verses with you. I don't have them up on the overhead. If you're taking notes, the first one is Acts 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And in Zechariah 4, 6, way back in the Old Testament, says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Okay. So if we're going to be strengthened in that inner man, that inner being, that inner person, it's got to be the Holy Spirit. And it's more important than what you look like on the outside. Your bodies are aging, right? Yours is not aging? No, you're saying no. That's impressive. I ain't touching that, okay? I'll see you at Life Group on Tuesday night. Yeah. Our bodies are aging. We have not yet found the fountain of youth, although we're still looking for it. I just saw somewhere online that they may have found something that can reverse biological aging. Yeah. Really? I don't know about that. It's a little weird. But we can't stop it. Ultimately, this body is going to fall apart. And the older you get, the more it feels like it's falling apart, right? It doesn't last. Someday we'll have new bodies. But what lasts from here is who you are on the inside. It's your soul. It's your spirit. So doesn't it make a whole lot more sense to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit than anything else? Absolutely it does. Absolutely. We need the power of the Spirit in our lives. But here's the deal. It is true that the Holy Spirit is with us 24/7. We are, after all, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So wherever we are, wherever we go, the Holy Spirit is with us. But there's something to be said about being connected to the Holy Spirit on a deeper level. It goes back to our mission statement, knowing Christ. Are you actively seeking Jesus Christ? Are you actively seeking his presence? Are you connecting, in other words, with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives? Listen to this brief story. In a seminary missions class, a man named Herbert Jackson told how, as a new missionary, he was assigned a car that would not start without a push. After pondering his problem, he devised a plan. He went to the school near his home, got permission to take some children out of class, and had them push his car off. As he made his rounds, he would either park on a hill or leave the engine running. He used this ingenious procedure for 2 years. Ill health forced the Jackson family to leave, and a new missionary came to that station. When Jackson proudly began to explain his arrangement for getting the car started, the new man began looking under the hood. Before the explanation was complete, the new missionary interrupted, "Why, Dr. Jackson, I believe the only trouble is this loose cable." He gave the cable a twist. He stepped into the car. He pushed the switch, and to Jackson's astonishment, the engine roared to life. For 2 years, needless trouble had become routine. The power was there all the time. Only a loose connection kept Jackson from putting that power to work. Oh, there you go. You get it now. The power lives in you. You don't have to pray to heaven, "God, send me more power." It already lives within you by the person of the Holy Spirit. So the key is to connect to the power that is already within you, the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to do. And so how do you connect like that? Well, again, there's something to be said about seeking his face. Psalm 105, and I'm going to summarize this because it just popped into my head. Psalm 105 basically says, "I'm going to seek your face and your strength." Okay? Actually, it's I'm confused now. It's Psalm 105. I'll go with Psalm 105. Somebody check me on that later. Thank you very much. Psalm 105, I'm sticking with it. "I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to seek your strength." That's how the Amplified brings it out. When you're seeking the face of God, which is synonymous with his presence, you're also seeking his strength. There's something about being connected to him. And when we have his strength, boy, oh boy, we're going to be in so much better shape to overcome the things that come our way. It doesn't mean God's going to take them away. It doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. Look, Paul sitting in prison, filled with the Holy Spirit, it wasn't easy. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember when he's baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove comes down out of heaven? He's on a cross. You think Jesus had it easy? You think he enjoyed his time on the cross? He did not. He did not. But the power was there to help see both of them through. See, I don't think the power of the Holy Spirit is necessarily there to give you an easy life or a life full of struggle. The power of the Holy Spirit is there to help you overcome, even if you don't feel all that great all the time. Does that make sense? Jesus said in John 16, in this world you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. We find our power in the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing we need. We need to be connected to him. The second one thing that we need to overcome, by the way, these are all interconnected, is to have Jesus living out his life in us. Take a look at verse 17 again. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, and we'll stop right there, the first part is where we want to look. We want Jesus living out his life in us, okay? See, if we're going to live victorious, it's got to be Jesus through you. There really is no other way. You see, we don't have any righteousness of our own. Anybody in here righteous? No. The Bible says that your righteousness is like a filthy rag. But every one of you is righteous if you are in Christ because Jesus has become your righteousness. So now we need to learn how to let his righteousness flow through us. And you don't have to work yourself to death for that. I got to do this, 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 and this. And I got to toe the line here. I got to toe the line there. I got to make sure I wear the right clothes. Please wear clothes. We want his righteousness flowing through us. We have no holiness on our own. We need his holiness flowing through us. We have no power on our own. Not really. We need his power flowing through us. We need his thoughts, his will, his anointing. We need the entirety of the life of Jesus to flow through us. Now again, like I said before, with the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, Jesus already lives in you, but it doesn't mean his life is always being lived through you. We need his life being lived through us. How does it happen? Well, we talked about it already here in Ephesians chapter 3. We need to take a hold of his life by faith. We believe who he is. We believe what we've done. As we heard before through one of the interpretations, we believe who we are in him. Listen to this quote here. The glory of the indwelling Jesus is something for us to know and to know by faith. It is there for us but must be taken hold of through faith. And all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. It's not very big, you know. It's really small. That's the only faith you need. Sometimes, and I think it's a development that we've had over the last 40, 50, 60 years of certain televangelists and TV preachers who talk an awful lot about faith, which is a good thing to talk about. But listening to certain people, you get to think, that I don't have enough faith. Now, if there are times when you don't need enough faith, hey, Lord, help me in my faith. But you just need a mustard seed. It's like a millimeter of faith. We've got to be careful because ultimately our faith is so important, but it's not our faith that does it. It's God who does it because we believe him. We trust him. Does that make sense? Yeah, you could put all your faith, if you want, in Buddha. It ain't going to help you any. It's Jesus. It's the power and the presence of the Spirit in your life. So we take a hold of the life of Christ by faith. Now, this is easier said than done. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight, right? The only trouble is we all have eyeballs. We all have ears. We have our five senses. We feel, we see, we touch, right? We're bombarded constantly by things. And we are bombarded more and more now than we ever were in the history of humanity. It was an interesting thing. There's a comedian out there named Dave Chappelle. Anybody in here hear of him? Well, he's been in the news lately because he's upset some people. He upset people that you wouldn't necessarily think would be upset by this comedian. Well, either way, I saw an interview with him. And in the interview, and I got to watch it again, he said something along the lines of how we know so much now. And he's of the belief that one of the reasons why we struggle so much is because we know too much. And there's this constant need to know more, to know more, to know more. And we're never satisfied. We always need something else. And half the stuff that we know doesn't matter anyway. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. This guy nailed it on the head. We are inundated with stuff. Solomon says there is no end to the writing of books. If he was alive today, he'd say there is no end to a vlog. They're all over the place. Man, I wish I could create my own job. Like, I'm an influencer. Like, what is that? I'm an influencer, and I get online, and I get up there, and I influence things. You all know what I'm talking about when I say that? Some of the older people are like, what? We know so much. And we're bombarded all the time with stuff. It's not always easy to walk by faith. But it's doable. It's doable because the Holy Spirit lives in us. It doesn't negate the fact that our sinful nature, our flesh, still wants it our way. You know that's what the sinful nature is all about, right? I've told you before that Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way is the anthem for the sinful nature and the flesh. I did it my way. Well, no, we want to do it God's way, right? We want to be led by God. Well, Paul knew all about his sinful nature and his personal life. He was constantly battling against it. Romans 7, I don't have it on the overhead, but 7, 18 and 19 says, I know nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature or my flesh. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. That's Paul. The dude in prison. The guy who wrote the majority of the New Testament. What's he saying? He says, I give in too much to my flesh, my sinful nature. First thing is that makes me feel better about myself. Because if Paul struggled, okay, I've got a chance. And you should feel fairly good about that as well. And it also highlights the fact that we are, after all, in this together. Okay, none of us comes to the point where we've got it all down, where we've become perfect. But he understood this battle. He understood it personally. If you want to be victorious, you need to have the fullness of God living in you. Jesus needs to live his life through you. And it happens by faith. Are you putting your faith in Jesus? Again, are you seeking his face? You see how they connect together? Are you putting yourself in a position where you're still before the Lord and you're listening for that still small voice? You're breaking open the Bible. You're reading what God has already said to you. Sometimes we're looking for a new revelation when God only wants us to go back to what he's already showed us. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And number two, we need the very life of Jesus Christ flowing in and through us. And the third one is we need it to be rooted and grounded in love. Take a look at verse 17 again, if you could. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Love is the greatest thing that we've got going in the universe. Three things remain: faith, hope, and love, right? The greatest of these is love. Love always hopes. It always perseveres. Love does not give up. It is not rude. Love never fails. And here's the deal. When you're strengthened by the Spirit, when the very life of Christ is flowing in and through you, we will be rooted and grounded in love. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher from the 1800s, says two expressions are used in these verses. Rooted, like a living tree which lays hold upon the soil, twists itself around the rocks and cannot be upturned, and grounded, like a building which has settled as a whole and will never show any cracks or flaws in the future through failures in the foundation. So we are rooted, we are grounded in God's love. And this comes by the power of the Spirit and through the presence of Jesus. You see how Paul wrote that? I don't think that's by mistake. The Bible says that God is love. So if it's the very life of God being lived through you, it's going to be a life of what? Love. God can't help but love. It's a part of his defining nature, one of his defining characteristics. It's love. The Holy Spirit brings some fruit to the table. The first piece of fruit in Galatians 5 is love. So you take Jesus, God in the flesh, you take Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. Love is going to be flowing through you. You're going to be rooted in it. You're going to be grounded in it. And as you are rooted in that love, two things are going to happen. Take a look at verse 18. You may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. So the first thing is you'll know the fullness of God's love. Now you may say, why is that so important? And I think it's a great question. Because the more that you know the love of God, the more that you'll truly become who God has called you to be. Please understand that. Freedom cannot be manipulated. Freedom cannot be brought on by fear or a power trip. It's one of the reasons, if not the reason, why God has made us to have self-sufficiency in essence, to have free will, to make choices. He hasn't made us, as people have said in the past, robots and stuff like that. That's not real freedom. Real freedom comes in love. That's where freedom comes from. So the more you know who you are and the more that you know God's love, I think the more freedom you're going to be walking in. Anybody want more freedom in your life from whatever? Yeah, man. Walk, be rooted, be grounded in the very love of God. It'll lead to that fullness of God's love, knowing it. And the second one in verse 19, it leads to the fullness of God in you. Look at verse 19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So again, love, not only being rooted in love, helps us to understand God's love for us, and then the fullness of God's love could be flowing in us. It's good stuff, isn't it? This is who Jesus is, and this is what he has done for us. And so when you're rooted in love, you really are rooted in God. God is love. So there it is. I asked you before how many of you wanted to be victorious, right? And my guess is you all would like to be victorious in Christ. And when I say victorious, I'm talking day-to-day living for Jesus. You're already victorious. The battle's already won, right? The war, you know, the devil's defeated. Sin has been dealt with, the whole deal. But in that day-to-day living where you have to deal with all the nonsense, we want to be victorious. We just talked about three ways, right here, right now, in which we can be victorious. So here's what you got to do. You got to do it. See how that works? Do it. Connect with the power of the Holy Spirit. Allow the life of Christ himself to live through you. Be rooted and grounded in love. I encourage you to seek his face this week. Make him your priority. Make him your priority for the rest of your lives. That's the key to the whole thing. Can we stand together? I know I had people come to the altar before. And of course, that was in response to a word that God had given us. And that was, you know, you're seeking his face for some kind of resolution, something that's been on your heart. I would like to ask this question. How many of you right now are going through a struggle? Raise your hand where you are. Okay, a number of hands. Can I ask you, as Tara gets ready to play, to come on up to the front again? If you raise your hand, come on up, because what I want to do is I want to invite the rest of the body of Christ to come and lay hands and to pray for you right now. I said before that we are indeed in this together. So before everybody else comes up, if you raised your hand, come on up first. There's something about praying for one another, something very, very special. And Paul says that we ought to constantly be praying for one another, praying for all the saints. So if you're still in your seat, there's a bunch of people up here right now. Could you come on up and just find somebody, lay a hand on them, and just begin to pray over them? You may not know what it is they're going through, and that's okay. God knows. And we just want to agree. And let's pray, obviously, as the Holy Spirit would lead. Keep the message in mind as you're praying for them. Strength of the Spirit, life of Christ, rooted and grounded in love. Keep that in mind as you're praying, okay? And for the rest of us, just go ahead and lift out your hands right now to God. Just begin to praise His name. We really want to create an atmosphere now where the Holy Spirit can move. Just begin to praise Him, even out loud with your own words. Holy Spirit, come and move right now upon your people in this place. Rise up, O God. Do the work that you're wanting to do. Song to sing at this moment. If you're still in your seats, go ahead and take someone's hand next to you, please. Because after all, we are in this together. Father, it's a great song because as we suffer through this world at times, we want to be overcomers. We want to rise. And I know one day we will rise when we meet with you for all eternity. But Lord, we want to rise even now. So Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, not only for these up here at this altar, but for each one of us in here, and for our brothers and sisters who could not be here today, we pray that you would fill us afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. That the very life of Christ would be lived in and through us more and more and more and more. And Father, we would therefore be rooted and grounded in love. And that love would flow in and through us to you as we worship you and give you the glory and praise you deserve, and to one another, as you said that we are to love one another, even as you have loved us. So, Father, we thank you for it. I do, Lord. I pray for your blessing upon each one right now. Jesus. I don't know. There may be someone in here right now who's struggling with hope or hopelessness. Father, if that's the case, I pray right now that you would lavish hope upon them. That they would understand the hope that is theirs in Christ Jesus. You will never leave them. You'll never forsake them. But you'll be with them to the ends of this earth. Father, bless them with that here today. And bless each one of us that we would keep our eyes fixed upon you, focused upon you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's give him a clap offering. He is worthy. Praise you, Lord. Well, as always, be blessed, be a blessing, have a great week in Christ.